have to really escalate the noise we make so that we'll be heard.
Live from Chelsea, it's Gay USA. I'm Andy Hum.
I'm Ann Northrup. And this week it's you that's sick, Andy. How are you doing?
I think I got your cold from last weekend.
He hates it when I come to the studio.
Yes, I do. We can only do it on StreamYard when we're not feeling well. And that's what we're doing today. And we're going to have to do it next week because there's going to be construction in our studio. So, but here we are. We're here with you. And we have a lot of news.
And my problem this week is construction in my new apartment, especially since I think this dining room ceiling's about to collapse because it's full of water.
Wow. Well, let's not trouble them with our problems because the whole world has them.
Yep.
You know, primarily, and this is, you're hearing this finally from the mainstream media completely. They're on to this. RFK Jr. wants you dead. The CDC is now completely broken and putting the health of all Americans at risk.
I do wonder about his motives, but we'll get to that. Texas, as you may have heard, is working overtime to erase LGBTQ people, women, people of color, and voters.
And the right wing, now doesn't believe transgender people exist, except when a transgender person commits a heinous crime.
Yeah.
Then the transgender.
But maybe the biggest story this week is the wars over the colorful lines in the street that are heating up, the wars in Florida and across the country. And it's not only affecting LGBTQ people.
We told you how Trump dumped the special LGBTQ suicide prevention hotline. Several states are stepping up to fill the gap.
And a very brave trans woman, Siobhan Ebert, stared down her rapist in a New York court. He was sentenced to 12 years in prison.
Indonesia, Burkina Faso, and Russia are behaving badly.
A gay track star in Britain decided just being out was not enough. He sent a signal from the starting blocks that went viral.
Stay tuned for that.
Yeah.
And Ann and I are going to review Elizabeth McGovern. You know her from Downton Abbey. In her play about screen goddess Ava Gardner.
Yeah, she wrote the script from a biography of Gardner or autobiography or whatever. And Trump has announced that he is giving the Presidential Medal of Freedom to a drag queen. You might guess who that is, but if not, stay tuned.
Okay. Now, we'll start out, since the news is largely bad, that, on Labor Day, there were 1,000-plus demonstrations in this country against Trump around the country. Workers over billionaires was the theme. Here's the one in Chicago, where Trump is poised to send troops unless the courts stop him, as they ordered him in Los Angeles.
This is the growth of the critical mass of people across the country that I've been watching and waiting for. I think it is growing by the day as the news gets darker and darker and we hear more and more details. And I'm confident that people will continue to go out into the streets in large numbers, whether they can stop. I heard some commentator a week or two ago say, these troops, these National Guards people, federal troops that are out there, they don't want to be out there. They don't want to be doing this stuff. And I thought to myself, but they're doing it.
Right.
If they don't want to do it, why don't they quit? Why don't they give us some sign that they don't want to do
well,
it? They practice some civil disobedience.
In Los Angeles, federal judge ruled that Trump and Hegseth violated federal law by using the U.S. military to help carry out law enforcement activities in and around Los Angeles. This case was brought by Governor Gavin Newsom. The judge was Charles Breyer, appointed by Clinton way back when, and he's the brother of the former Supreme Court Justice Stephen Breyer. But, you know, he's basically said, you know, went down the line. You're taking these people away from what they're supposed to be doing or allowed to do, and you're putting them in these situations, and you can't do it.
Well, I don't mind them picking up trash. That's always helpful.
It's kind of a waste. I think it's kind of a waste. Oh, they have to pick up trash because they fired all the Parks Department people.
Yes, that too. But really, it is between supposedly they don't want to be there. I'd like to see more evidence of that because they are following orders. Very depressing.
And speaking of Supreme Court, Amy Coney Barrett's got a book coming out and a memoir. And she says that the complicated moral debate about abortion, which she voted to overturn Roe v. Wade, sets it apart from other rights that enjoy broad public support. Of course, abortion enjoys broad public support as well. But she also said, and those rights that enjoy broad moral support are the rights to marry, have sex, procreate, and use contraception. If she really believes that, that's a little encouraging.
It is. And I do understand a difference between freedom to marry and abortion rights and the different choices there or, you know, I'm fully in support of both, but I can see making a distinction. So, but you're right. Abortion rights, reproductive rights, women's right to make their own decisions certainly enjoys majority support in this country.
And I'll be marching in the Labor Day parade with my union on Saturday in New York.
And it's a little late for the Labor Day parade.
We don't want to do one on Labor Day. We want a day off.
Okay.
Like everybody else.
So give us the details of the parade.
Well, I mean, it's all over the country, but it's on Fifth Avenue on Saturday morning. We kick off around 10 a.m. At 44th Street. But how did Trump mark the Labor Day holiday? He stripped nearly 500,000 federal workers of union rights. This is the largest, you know, what do you call it, union busting move by a president in the entire history of the country. It's absolutely insane. You know, I'm glad that union members overall went against Trump and went against him even more in this past election. But it's no one. How could any union member vote for Donald Trump?
Well, that's a longer conversation. I think you know the answer to that. But
No, I don't. We were supposed to have solidarity and stick together and not cross picket lines and things like that.
Look, labor union members have been voting right wing for a long time. Substantial numbers of them.
The Teamsters.
Well, I was watching did you see the 3-hour Nixon documentary last night?
I did not.
I did. It was disappointing. I thought too superficial. But one thing they did include was when anti-Vietnam War marchers were in the streets and getting shot at Kent State and all of that, there were a lot of labor union members who were out in the streets supporting Nixon and supporting the war.
Supporting Nixon, the hard hats were bashing the anti-war protesters.
Exactly. Exactly.
Well,
a mixture of feelings. So I'm glad they're getting a little more radicalized this time around.
So the top story this week, and I'm glad it has been the top story all across the country, is the destruction of the CDC, because the director of the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention and several top officials, well, she was fired by Trump, Susan Monterez, there she is. Why? Because, and she's just sworn in and Senate confirmed a month ago, and Kennedy praised her as a terrific public health person, but he was ordering her to implement this new vaccine scheme, which is going to deny COVID vaccines to tons of people and leave it available to few. And she says, I can't do that. That's not what the science says. And he said, you're fired. And she says, you can't fire me. And Trump fired her.
So then three other top officials quit. including our longtime favorite friend there on the right, the tall guy, Dr. Dimitri Deskalakis, who you will remember from his several appearances on this show and his work for the New York City Department of Health going into sex clubs and other places where people were putting themselves at risk and doing direct HIV education and prevention to the people. We were all shocked when he ended up at the CDC because he's so progressive and so forward-thinking and so uncensored. And now he has walked out with his colleagues there.
We should say who they are. That's in the middle, Dr. Deborah H-O-U-R-Y, Horry, the chief medical officer of the CDC, a doctor, and we're going to get to that, and Dr. Daniel Jerrigan, the director of the National Center for Emerging Zoonotic Infectious Diseases, and another top official resigned as well. Dimitri said, I'm not able to serve in this role any longer because of the ongoing weaponizing of public health.
And go ahead.
Well, the fact, I mean, so it's not just them. I mean, you had all these former directors of the CDC and former acting directors who did this op-ed in the Times that said, we ran the CDC. Kennedy is endangering every American's health. There he is. He's a monster. And Trump was letting him get away with it because even though Trump has plenty of past decisions that would say, oh, I'm the guy who developed the COVID vaccine, those kinds of things. Kennedy has this MAGA anti-vaccine base. I mean, as we were coming on the show today, Florida is now saying they're not going to require mandatory immunizations in schools in the whole state. I mean, wow.
Well, Dimitri was asked by the press about his relationship with Kennedy and the conversations they might have had about these issues and details. And he said, I was never allowed to brief him. No one ever briefed him. He didn't want the facts. He didn't want the information. He just makes up his own mind and no one gets to talk to him.
Or as Stephen Miller said, Kennedy is the crown jewel of Trump's administration.
And as Senator Tina Smith of Minnesota said to Kennedy, just shut up. Stop peddling bullshit. You should be fired.
We're not allowed to say that word here.
I'm quoting Tina Smith.
I know. I think we should be able to. Free speech, okay. You should let that go. And then Senator Bill Cassidy, who was the Republican, who's a doctor from Louisiana, who was the one who gave Kennedy the vote that he needed to get confirmed, reluctantly, apparently, but he did it. He's a coward. He's now calling for the CDC's vaccine advisors meeting, which is now stacked with anti-vaxxers, to be postponed from September 18th, and that if it proceeds with the meeting, its recommendations should be rejected. And so what's happening is states are getting together to make their own recommendations and things. But the problem is, so that there's a West Coast coalition, there's going to be an East Coast coalition doing this on their own. But where's the money going to come from? Because most of these vaccines were older, it's paid for by Medicare, are paid for by the federal government.
Well, too little too late from Cassidy, but I guess we should be happy with a little. Anyway, Kennedy has, RFK Kennedy, has appointed Deputy Health Secretary Jim O'Neill to take over the CDC. He is a protege of Peter Thiel, such a protege that he's been on the board of this seasteading scheme that Thiel has had for years, where he wants to build independent nations on free-floating islands in the oceans.
Well, this guy, look at him. He's gonna. No medical background. He's supported.
No scientific background. Nothing.
Not just that. He's crazy. He supported the use of ivermectin and hydroxychloroquine to treat COVID, despite no evidence that that worked. And he embraced all these conspiracy theories about COVID online.
He also wants a free market in organ sales.
Right. And what he said about drug testing is, well, let's let people just use them at their own risk. And let's prove efficacy after they've been legalized.
You know, even AIDS activists who were demonstrating for years for greater, faster access to new drugs did not go that far.
Well, let me finish. He said, I envision tens of millions of people in an Apple or Google country where the high-tech giants would govern and residents would have no vote. If people are people are allowed to opt in or out of that, and then you can have a successful dictatorship. I mean, how does this get past anybody and without pitchforks at the White House again?
Well, and this
don't
is
forget,
your
don't forget, you know, the CDC. We didn't talk much about the shooting of the CDC. It was shot up.
Right.
Dmitry Daskalaka said there was glass on his desk. Somebody fired 500 rounds at the building in Georgia, killing a responding officer, and it was targeting healthcare workers. And this was someone who was motivated by his beliefs that the COVID-19 vaccine he received was harming him. And so Kennedy did not respond to this at all. It took forever to even acknowledge it. Trump has never acknowledged it or done it. This is a government building. These are government employees.
And as we move into the other shooting more recently in Minnesota, RFK Jr. says the NIH is studying antidepressants, et cetera, for connection to school shootings by trans people.
Yes, you all know about the Minneapolis shooting. Two children were killed and 23-year-old mass shooter opening fire in a church. And here are the two, the two victims, the ones who died, Fletcher Merkel, a little boy, 8 years old, and Harper Moisky, 10 years old, little girl. And you know, her parents are saying, you know, our hearts are broken, but when our immediate focus is, while our immediate focus is on Harper and our family's healing, we also believe it's important that her memory fuels action. No family should ever have to endure this kind of pain. And they, you know, they want meaningful steps taken on gun violence. Now, you know, I mean, Trump is sending troops because one of his aides or something was, you know, mugged in Washington or something. What these people are being slaughtered all the time, kids in schools. And nothing is ever done about it. Nothing is ever done about it.
Well, the most shocking, of course, was the first major one at Sandy Hook in Connecticut when all those little children were gunned down in the elementary school along with a few of their teachers. And it's that killer, Adam Lanza, who was idolized and studied closely by the killer in Minnesota, Robin Westman, 23 years old, who had purchased a number of guns legally. And, you know, the news media and the politicians and everything have gone back and forth about whether or not to acknowledge her as trans, to use female pronouns or not. But she really, she wanted fame. She was obsessed with killing defenseless kids. She left a lengthy hate manifesto and confusing statements about her gender identity. There was one point where she said, I know I'm not a woman, but I definitely don't feel like a man.
Well, look, I mean, listen, this person was deeply sick, deeply mentally ill. But let's just say it. There have been four mass shooters since 2018 who were transgender, and 4,193 mass shooters who were not transgender.
Exactly.
But as I say, the right-wing media jumps all over this. This is another example. Trans people are crazy and sick, et cetera. But, you know, Mayor Jacob Frey of Minneapolis spoke out at the press conference right after the shooting, and here is what he said.
We need to be doing more than talking. It can't just be words. There needs to be action. And when we have seen school shooting after school shooting, when we have seen churches get shot up by horrible actors, I think the impetus has to be on all of us as leaders to do a whole lot more, to recognize that we've got more guns in this country than we have people. And it's on all of us to recognize the truth and the reality that we can't just say that this shouldn't happen again and then allow it to happen again and again beyond that. It's on all of us. And I have heard about a whole lot of hate that's being directed at our trans community. Anybody who is using this as an opportunity to villainize our trans community or any other community out there has lost their sense of common humanity. We should not be operating out of a place of hate for anyone. We should be operating from a place of love for our kids. Kids died today. This needs to be about them. This needs to be wrapping our arms around these families with every bit of love that we can possibly show. And I know that our Minneapolis family and well beyond is prepared to do exactly that. And so my message to everyone out there is, again, these families are experiencing some acute pain right now. But don't just think of these as somebody else's kids. Think of your own. Let's make sure that we're acting now to not just say it's never happening again, but ensure it doesn't.
Thank you, Mayor Fry. There was a riveting interview right afterwards with a 10-year-old kid, I think he was 10, who was describing very calmly, but he was obviously very frightened, about exactly what happened. And in his case, his friend jumped on top of him and took a bullet. Didn't die, but took a bullet. And they asked him what happened to him, and he said, "Well, fragments of something near me or something." Well, they actually found bullet fragments in him subsequently, and he's having to be operated on. It came very close to killing him. But I mean, the kid who jumped on top of him has done more to prevent gun violence than all the Congress at this point.
And they talk, these kids, very matter-of-factly about the trainings they've had, the shooter trainings, and that's just heartbreaking to listen to.
Yes. All right, shall we move on to some political news?
Yes.
The bigoted senator from Iowa, Senator Joni Ernst, she's not all that old either, she will not seek re-election next year. She's the one who said we're all going to die. Well, apparently it's all coming true, Joni, because you voted for RFK Jr.
Yeah, I think she saw the writing on the wall that her chances were slim of getting reelected. And between the special election in Iowa recently and the fact that she's been so ridiculed for her "we're all going to die" statement.
Now, speaking of elections, in the wake of the IRS ruling that pastors can endorse candidates for public office from their pulpits, the Family Research Council, founded by the late James Dobson, who we talked about last week, is already organizing 18,000 pastors for next year's midterms. And, you know, on the liberal side, we really don't have as much of a counter to that for doing it. In fact, a lot of the churches are saying, we're still not going to make endorsements from pulpits. There was a Lutheran pastor in Kenosha, Wisconsin, who wanted to endorse AOC for president in front of a whole bunch of people because he felt she reflected Lutheran values. And he got fired by his denomination. That his name was Jonathan Barker.
Well, right. Once again, the right wing pastors in this case are extremely well organized and extremely, you know, falling into line as the right wing voters have.
Right. All right. Should we move on to the color wars?
No, we got more politicians to talk about here.
We do, but I think I was going to just say the other stuff is a bigger story, but
we can wait on the others.
Yeah. I think we should talk about, you've been following, again, it's making national news now, because across the country, right-wing governments of states are going after colored walk crosswalks, murals on the streets, et cetera. So now in Orlando, they have a sign up saying defacing roadway prohibited, no impeding traffic. Now, and they arrested four people for trying to recolor in the Orlando Pulse Memorial crosswalk. And they're charged with doing damage of over $1,000, even though they did it with chalk and it all washes off.
Well, one guy put chalk on the bottom of his shoes and then just walked across the crosswalk and got arrested.
So DeSantis keeps citing a law that they passed that designs that jeopardize both pedestrian safety and traffic safety must be destroyed. And they're doing this across the state. The fact is, though, the studies say the opposite. And we've talked about this. That actually, I mean, I'm not, you know, they are safer. There are fewer traffic accidents. There are fewer pedestrian deaths and accidents as a result of that. So it has nothing to do with public safety. It has to do with bigotry.
And it doesn't always have to do with LGBTQ either. In Orlando, there was a beautiful Orange County intersection that was just gorgeous. I mean, look at that. It's we're not even getting the best view, maybe a little on the left. It's just a beautiful design on the intersection, and that was outlawed. You can see them beginning to cover it up on the right-hand side of the picture. They just want to get rid of everything that is free and joyous and celebrates life.
That's how fascism works. It's a world of black and white, and we do not welcome any variety whatsoever. There are 400 murals on the Florida list to get rid of.
Fort Lauderdale is fighting to keep their intersections, their art intersections. And I think this is provoking a response and a rebellion against this kind of stupidity.
Delray Beach, we told you, is resisting, but they've been given until September 3rd to remove theirs. And then hundreds marched against DeSantis in Miami Beach along Washington Avenue on Sunday, protesting the order to remove rainbow-painted crosswalks. Because, you know, he's targeting us. He's saying you're the evil people in society that we have to stop. It was called the Forever Proud March, and it was great. And the people of Orlando are showing allyship, and this is what has to happen. Here's somebody just put rainbow stripes in their driveway. Maybe they'll ban that and say it's somehow you shouldn't do that in front of children or something. I don't know. But
well, if there's a homeowners association, they could come up with a rule against it. But otherwise, I think you're entitled to paint your driveway.
But I do think it's what you're talking about, Ann. It is making us be more forthright about displaying the rainbow flag. Put them in their faces. In Tallahassee. Now, this was just a removal of a colored crosswalk in Tallahassee that the seniors down there liked. And we have a report of, of what happened down there.
Leon County leaders will comply with an FDOT order to remove non-compliant crosswalk art. I'm Olympia Cheney, your neighborhood reporter in Northeast Tallahassee, speaking with neighbors affected by the change.
Colorful crosswalks are disappearing across the city, but in Leon County, they're still in place for now. But that will change soon. Monday, I received a copy of an email sent from the county administrator, Vincent Long, on August 22nd to Florida Department of Transportation Secretary Tim Smith. It was in response to the county being notified that it was not in compliance with the removal mandate. The email referenced a phone call between the two groups earlier that day. In his email, Long writes, "I greatly appreciate and accept your offer to redouble our efforts in the locations of these crosswalks and to work together to install the most effective FDOT-approved safety measures in those locations and others going forward." Three of those county crosswalks are on Dempsey Mayo Road near a school and a retirement community. Senior neighbors near Dempsey Mayo Road say those crosswalks did more than add color.
This was not a political statement. This was a simple response to a problem for our residents. And we knew, based on the research we had done, that if it were very visible, that the traffic would slow down, and that's what we found out happened.
Some of those neighbors vow to protest when crews show up to remove those designs.
You tear them out, we're coming out with our wheelchairs, our walkers, our canes, the whole bit.
They say elderly walkers and students alike benefit from the extra visibility. So far, 10 colorful crosswalks that once brightened neighborhoods have been removed, including several near Leon County schools. FDOT says the design didn't meet federal, state, and safety standards. According to FDOT, non-standard designs can confuse drivers, and they warn local governments could lose state funding if they don't comply. Micah Rose lives 1 minute away from one of the recently repainted crosswalks. She walks her kids to and from school every day and says they were disappointed to see that colorful crosswalk gone.
On the first day of school, we walked to school, and we saw it, and we were excited. We were like, oh, this is so pretty, you know? It was like a landmark for us to know this is when we get close to school. And this morning when we came, we noticed it was gone. And me and all three of my kids were disappointed, even my three-year-old, because she loved seeing it.
Also in that email, Long stated the county would be in compliance by the September 4th deadline. In Northeast Tallahassee, Linthius Cheney, ABC 27.
And I want to say that this made the CBS Evening News also. It was a big story. This particular one, it was a big story.
Well, that was a great piece of video. I loved every second of it. But I think those Florida officials who are mandating this should be prosecuted for enacting violence on the population, because they are endangering the population of the state, and they should not be getting away with this. They should suffer consequences.
Well, in St. Petersburg, they have outside the Woodson African American Museum of Florida, we have a picture of this. They have a big street mural, beautiful, Black History Matters. And this is another one that has been being painted over. Two pastors were arrested protesting the removal of the Black History Matters mural there.
Well, this is why I think this, this is back to Tallahassee, because you can recognize that sidewalk design. These are seniors who are protesting the removal of these designs on the street. And when you got them out practicing civil disobedience in the crosswalks, I think you're in real trouble.
Yes, you need to abandon the Republican Party if you were ever there.
But look at them. They know. And this is exciting that this is the issue, because it's so clear and so insane that the officials, the governor, the transportation officials are trying to do this. It's crazy. And well, people can see through this.
Fort Lauderdale, they had an emergency meeting of the city council to try to counter this. And they're looking at all possible options, Mayor Kenneth Welch said. The mayor mentioned new flags, banners, and installations that he said will be even more powerful expressions of who we are, expressions that cannot be erased.
Well, I'm still worried, though, about the health of those seniors and kids. I want those colorful crosswalks there to protect them.
If I had laid down there, I would have had trouble getting up. So without help. But look, it's not. But here's the thing. Some in other states and other places, some are allowed. I have family up in Bristol, Rhode Island. They have the oldest 4th of July parade in the country, going back to the 1700s, and they have this red, white, and blue stripe down the middle. Now, the Rhode Island Department of Transportation says they have a federal exemption, and they're allowed to do this. Okay, so that one stays. But in Newton, Massachusetts, these are the colors of, well, they were the colors of the Italian flag, and they've been in the center of the street for the Italian American Festival there. But the mayor there, Ruth Ann Fuller, you know, in an increasingly gentrified city, said it has to be painted over. So those Italian Americans, they went out in the middle of the night and they started painting it back.
Look, this is sweeping the nation. Civil disobedience, repainting street stripes.
Right.
Oh, this is Daytona Beach, of course, near the speedway there. In fact, that is the speedway across the street. So they have a part of the street that is painted as the checkerboard flag, for the racing. And the city came out and painted it over. And, you know, these black and white things, I think, look like jail cells. I think that's the image they're painting there.
That's what they're trying to put us all into.
Yeah.
As they build their concentration camps, and again, I say that without exaggeration and with a great deal of alarm.
Exactly.
Because your Congress appropriated hundreds of billions of dollars to build concentration camps and hire more masked thugs to be these ICE agents and things. But it's not just going to be for immigrants. It's going to be for everybody. By the way, somebody pointed out giving all these signing bonuses to these ICE agents and things is getting to the point where local law enforcement are being depleted because they can't compete with that, and they're losing their police officers.
Right. They're giving, what, $50,000 bonuses to the Proud Boys who sign up for these jobs?
Salaries over $100,000, et cetera. So, yeah.
Well, for all the people they're firing and the money they're saving, that's where it's going. It's going to create this national police force, which, to go back to the story at the beginning of the show about the judge who overruled Trump's use of the National Guard in L.A. is exactly what they're trying to do, a national police force that he controls on a daily basis.
We better start moving on with some alacrity.
Okay.
In Texas, they passed a whole slew of anti-LGBTQ bills, a bathroom ban, which gives you a $25,000 fine for using a bathroom that is not aligned with your sex at birth, signed at birth, $125,000 for the second offense. Greg Abbott signed the new gerrymandered law, which is going to give Trump, he thinks, five more Republican districts, which he asked for. And, you know, they're banning programs and discussions relating to race, gender identity, and sexual orientation in all public and charter schools, et cetera, erasing our identities. It's an extreme censorship law. It will not permit clubs for these things in the schools, et cetera.
Which is illegal, of course. In South Carolina, they passed an anti-trans bathroom bill. A 13-year-old trans boy was viciously harassed at his school and in the bathroom. The parents sued because, per the Supreme Court refusal to review the Gavin Grimm case and the decision that said he could use the bathroom of his gender identity, The South Carolina is asking the Supreme Court now to support their ban on anti-trans bathroom bills.
And I should say that Texas passed a draconian anti-abortion bill, which goes after the abortion pill, but not just in Texas, but everywhere, essentially. They want to make it impossible for the bill to be shipped anywhere, for a courier service to do it or whatever. And Democrats in Texas are, during the redistricting thing, when they finally came back to vote, they were assigned guards, essentially, to go with them. So a couple of them took them to a club that does drag acts for a meeting. I mean, the drag act wasn't on that night, but it was a meeting of the local gay political club.
Well, I'm sure, I don't know how long they're going to have those guards assigned. Maybe not if they've passed the bills now, but... they could take them all over the place.
Now, go ahead. Well, the Trevor Project, is saying it's a disaster that they ended. When you call the suicide prevention hotline, the national hotline, there used to be a special gay number that you pushed and you got it connected to something like the Trevor Project. So that's all been stopped by the federal government. And some states are trying to fill the gap. California, who else? Nevada, Illinois, and North Carolina are doing it. They're stepping up, and they are going to have special services, and this should be done all across the country.
But, of course, Cracker Barrel acceded to the demand of the president to ditch their new updated logo, put the old guy in the rocking chair back on it, and they have removed a pride page they had on their website.
Right. that's all the work of Robbie Starbuck. All right. So also in politics, Jerry Nadler, our Congress member forever since 1982 or 1983, is not running in 2026. Lots of people are lining up to replace him, including out city council member Eric Botcher. For sure, we know he's running. Maybe Cynthia Nixon is interested in out lesbian. There's so many candidates. They're even talking about one of the Kennedys, but Schlossberg. But so it's going to be quite a fight here in the district.
I'm interested.
We have not made up our minds.
No, but I'm interested in Lena Khan.
Yeah.
She could be quite the firecracker in Congress.
She was the head of the Federal Trade Commission.
Yes.
She is a firecracker.
Shoved out. Chelsea Clinton's name has been raised, which just, I can't tell you how depressing that is. But look,
this is the district in Manhattan, East Side, West Side. It's one of the richest districts in the country, excluding people like me. But, it is a very prestigious post. It used to be called the Silk Stocking District.
Well, when it was configured differently, I think, when it didn't have the West Side.
It was just the East Side, yeah. And it used to be represented by liberal Republicans when there were such things. But
the East Side part of it. But Jerry has been a very progressive radical for a long time and will miss his representation. And we need someone like that in that district. And as a footnote, you may remember my friend Marnie Von Wilpert, who was on here a year ago or something, as she's a San Diego city councilwoman, and she was going to run in California for the state Senate. But now that redistricting may happen there, she announced this morning that she is going to run for Congress, and she's going to be running against the monstrous Daryl Issa, who we've wanted to get rid of for years. And part of the redistricting scheme proposed in California is to redraw his district to make him vulnerable. So we'll be keeping an eye on that.
And I should say that in Alabama, I mean, this is all very well, actually, Alabama, in a county, they elected an out gay guy as the head of the Democratic Party in the county, out gay, because they have liberal pockets in all these very red states. And they a black gay guy running for the United States Senate nomination against Tuberville.
I'm not holding my breath over that one, but we'll see. And already in office in Ohio, State Representative Christine Cockley, who at 29 is the youngest person ever elected to the state house in Ohio. She's from Columbus. She's in her first term, and she has just come out as queer.
Yes, and she's married to a man, but he encouraged her to own up to her identity and said it would be helpful. Given, and she's also a Jewish woman who says she was bullied about that in school, as well as a person with a disability. She has ADHD.
And Columbus has been a sort of liberal pocket in Ohio. A lot of lesbian golfers there. So it was nice to hear her talking honestly about these issues.
Okay. All right. We've told you about the horrible rape of a transgender woman in New York in 2022. Her name was Siobhan Ebert. Her rapist, Nicholas Encarnacion, was convicted.
Encarnacion.
That's him. He was sentenced to 12 years in prison, and Siobhan Ebert stared him down in the courtroom and said, "I hate you. You ruined my life." What else?
In York, Pennsylvania, at the Gift Horse Brewing Company Beer Garden, three drag queens got into a little verbal tussle with three haters. Words were exchanged. The haters were slurring the drag queens, and then the haters followed the drag queens out of the bar, beat them brutally. The bar workers saw what was happening and rushed off to help and identified the haters to the cops. And the cops, of course, blamed the victims.
Okay. All right. Somebody we lost this week, or who we're not going to miss, the bigoted ex-congressman and convicted felon Duke Cunningham. He's died at the age of 83. He was from he was from San Diego when it was pretty, was much more Republican in 1990, stepped down in 2005, tax evasion, conspiracy, bribery. But he was so, so relentlessly anti-gay. He once described the prostate cancer treatments are just not normal unless you're Barney Frank, who was, of course, the out gay Congress member. He referred to gays as homos. He said that gays in the military degrade national security. And he once said that Democratic leaders in the House should be lined up and shot. So goodbye to you.
He was sent to jail for his corruption and then pardoned by Trump.
Well, he argued for stiff penalties, for the death penalty for drug dealers. And then his son, Randall, got arrested for smuggling 400 pounds of marijuana. And he pleaded for leniency from the judge. And the kid only got 2.5 years.
Yeah.
And he's a family values Republican who was married 3 times.
Update on Lil Nas X and his arrest for sauntering down the streets of L.A. in his underwear, maybe nude. We've only seen pictures of the underwear. His father says it was not drugs. He was not on drugs. He just had a little mental breakdown. And Nas says, yes, I had a little mental breakdown. I'm getting help. I'm remorseful for what happened. I thought he would look quite charming, but that's a whole other thing.
International news?
Yeah, sure.
Trump's rescissions, taking back of congressionally appropriated $4.9 billion in foreign aid. And the single biggest clawback would be, funding peacekeeping abroad and cutting the Democracy Fund at the State Department. I mean, we are just retreating from the world. And as you see, all the dictators, in China and elsewhere are rising up.
Well, in Burkina Faso, there is a new law criminalizing homosexuality. Over the years, we have been celebrating as one by one countries have gotten rid of their criminalization laws. But this is going backwards. 2 to 5 years prison, fines, and if you're a foreigner and found to be practicing homosexuality, you'll be deported.
Yes, they had been one of 22 of the 54 African nations where it had not been criminalized. And again, the French colony didn't criminalize it. They added this. You know, everybody always says it's a colonial thing. I just think it's a human thing, unless you get educated, to be homophobic. In Australia, a former police officer there has pleaded not guilty in the case of a prominent gay couple who were murdered. This is Beau Lamar Condon, age 30. He stands accused of killing I used to kiss him, Jesse Baird and Luke Davies in February 2024. One of them was his ex-partner.
In Indonesia, another gay man has been arrested and caned. I want to know if these people are actually more than one, I think. I want to know what shape they're in after this caning. It's really...
That'll be 6 times, which is very extreme.
Unbelievable.
Alleged to have engaged in sexual activity in a public restroom.
In Russia, an online library has been fined $170,000 for promoting LGBTQ.
This is one of the books that are banned, Banana Fish, which is considered a depiction of male characters in a romantic setting. I mean, $173,000, that's pretty high in Russia.
This has been called by the government a cultural threat to the national security. All right. Is that what they were discussing in China with the leader of China and Russia and whoever the third one was?
A little relief. Track star Seamus Derbyshire he came out. He's a young man who came out. He's about 20, he's about 25 now. But he really wanted to be free. So he's on the starting blocks for a meet, and he just blows kisses and sings to certain music. He intends to do this at the World Championships next month, apparently, too. And it's a way of just freeing himself. Because he used to be bullied. I need to present my authentic self. and stop playing up a character who felt they needed to act in a certain way because he's a track star. And he got mind-boggling.
I think he's a hurdler. The world championships next month, this month, the 13th through the 21st are in Tokyo. Keep an eye on that.
Right. By the way, I mean, I wasn't even going to talk about this, but I got upset when HRC featured it in their email today. The fact that this priest, Reverend James Martin, you know, who was supposedly very pro-gay, met with the Pope, and then relates to us that the Pope is very open and he's going to keep everything open. I mean, for God's sakes, the Pope didn't say anything. The Pope didn't change anything. I mean, I think he wants to keep sort of peace and not, you know, he's not calling us, you know, bad names other than intrinsically disordered in the official church teaching. So you stop celebrating this until something substantial happens.
Very sad news from the central region of France. A lesbian teacher, 42 years old, had been constantly harassed for a couple of years at the school, graffiti all over the place, and all well known to the school, which did nothing about it. The town did nothing. The school did nothing. The parents did nothing at the school. And she threw herself off a cliff, killing herself on the first day of school this year. She has a wife who she leaves. Very sad story.
Awful story.
But in Kenya, where a trans woman had been arrested for impersonation, a Kenya court has ordered protection of trans people and their inherent dignity when the arrested woman sued. So thank you to the court in Kenya.
Okay. Let's go to AIDS news. The U.S. Conference on HIV/AIDS is happening in Washington, D.C. this week, so we'll have reports from that next week. But a group from San Francisco called the Save HIV Funding Coalition has created a quilt. This is a piece of it to highlight all the cuts, stop the cuts, especially for PrEP access, Medicaid, and HIV research. And they put them on tombstones.
The House Appropriations Committee has just passed a bill that would cut $2 billion from domestic HIV care. We know they have been cutting HIV funding around the world, PEPFAR and all of that. Well, now they're going right to our homes, to domestic care, treatment, and prevention.
That shows you how Republicans feel about you, okay? Because the Senate is subject to a filibuster, and they passed a bill without any of these cuts. So let's see what happens when there's reconciliation between the bills.
Yeah, well, let's see what happens when the Trump administration says to those Republican senators, we want you to support this.
Well, want you to support it, but they could also, they've already passed the Senate bill. But I mean, and Trump can just step in and say, I'm not spending that money. We're not
exactly.
That's what happens.
Yeah.
Because you live in a dictatorship. This is not a democracy anymore.
Yep.
All right. Entertainment news?
Well, not so entertaining at the Kennedy Center, as we have been suggesting. Gloria Gaynor, one of the honorees, has donated $22,000 to MAGA Republicans over the last 2 years.
I should hope they're getting her money's worth. All right. In entertainment news, talk about this celebrity couple that got married.
Oh, Chloe Grace Moretz, who is a very well-known and popular actress on the left there, and Kate Harrison, who is a model and photographer. They've been together since 2018, 7 years, and they threw a lovely wedding. You can see how nice their dresses are. But the reception was a little more Western themed and included fishing, horseback riding, line dancing, and a little poker.
I don't understand why the co-hosts of Gay USA weren't invited.
I know. I like all those activities. Why can't we be doing that?
All right. You and I saw a play. Elizabeth McGovern, again, you know her from Downton Abbey as Cora. She wrote a play called Ava, The Secret Conversations, about Ava Gardner. She's playing Ava Gardner. It's a 90-minute play or so. when Ava Gardner's 65 and needs the money from a book. Now, Ava Gardner was married to Mickey Rooney and Artie Shaw and Frank Sinatra, and so she had an interesting life. The play, I would say, a lot less so. But she does talk about her story, make her seem like she's talking to a guy writing the book, like a Hollywood whore. And
I didn't take it quite that way, although some were accusing her of that. I thought Elizabeth McGovern was just totally miscast as Ava Gardner.
I think we're out of time, right?
No, we have 2.5 minutes.
We do have 2.5 minutes. Okay. Yeah. All right. I'm sorry. I apologize. I'm just looking at the clock.
At any rate, I found it disappointing, thin, empty. I didn't enjoy it.
And Trump has, as we said, announced that he's going to give the Presidential Medal of Freedom to a drag queen, Rudy Giuliani. Now, when Rudy dressed up in drag like this, we have a picture of it. He did so in a video with Donald Trump, who was not in drag, although God knows. You know.
Well, the conceit of the video was that they were flirting with each other.
Right.
It was very unappealing. Now, I've just gotten a little text message with breaking news that says Trump advisors are said to have discussed hiring Eric Adams to clear the mayoral race field for Andrew Cuomo.
Well, Mamdani is still going to win.
We're not supposed to give our opinions. Yes, we do.
What do you mean we're not supposed to give our opinions? We give our opinions about everything on this show.
I know, for 30 years. We are not supporting Eric Adams for anything or Andrew Cuomo. Let's put it that way.
That's true. So, but the Presidential Medal of Freedom, this was announced right after Rudy had his car accident.
Well, you know, the story was that he was in New Hampshire and he was driving, his aide was driving the car. They got waved down by some woman who needed help in some domestic violence scene. Rudy helped, and then they got rear-ended in their car by someone who I think drove off, and Rudy was injured.
Okay. Are we out? My clock.
30 seconds. And there's another No Kings March on October 18th coming up. Thank you for that little tidbit.
No, 18th, right?
That's what I said.
Okay.
I think. Yes, 18th. So we're going to be back on StreamYard next week because of construction in our studio. But I think StreamYard works for us. I'm not concerned about that. But we will see you then, because now we're out of time.
Thanks. Bye.